Okay, so welcome back. This is the third shiur in the series on Igeres Agra. We are up to the words. We're really in the middle of a paragraph. If you're in the Art Scroll edition, it's on page 22, about, I would say, 60% down the page. And if you're looking at the elucidations, it's on page 90. So the Gra has been talking about the importance of being careful about your speech, and now he mentions positive speech. V'shalo yochlu v'yishtu kiyem v'bracha rishona v'achrona. You have to be extra careful. Again, he's talking to his wife and to his mother about them and about their family. Kiyem v'bracha rishona. Make sure to always make a bracha rishona v'achrona and a berachas hamazon or bar nefashos or al michya. Also to be careful about Kriya Shema. And now, even though Kriya Shema, in the Rabbi Goldberg's volume of Bo Cheshbon in the footnotes, he mentions that even though Kriya Shema is a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, Kriya Shema does have Kabbalas Omal Choshmaim, where we're makabal on ourselves to accept the yoke of heaven. So that component, so even though maybe from the Kriya Shema as a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, women would be putter, but they're still chayiv for Kabbalas Omal Chushamayim. V'hakol, or recommended, because of the Kabbalas Omal Chushamayim contained in Kriyat Shema. And v'hakol b'kavana, and you have to be extra careful that everything should be said b'kavana. And then he says the line, and we mentioned that, even though our society might be different than what the Gra's expectations of society was, we have to remember that we're the weird ones. Not the Vilna Gaon, but there's a lot to learn just from this next line. The Ikar Hakol, says the Gra, the most important thing is, Shelo Yetzu Chas V'Shalom Mipesach Beisam V'Lachutz. Don't let the women leave the house. Don't let them leave the home. That sounds, in 2021, it sounds extreme. But the truth is, even on our own level, we can understand. Rabbi Goldberg even makes this very practical. The Gra might have meant it physically. There's no need for them to leave the house. Obviously, that doesn't work in our society. They go to school, they go to work, women do everything that men do, for the most part. So, Rabbi Goldberg says, the reason it's an Ikar HaKol is because what it means is that we don't want our influences to come from the street. I think, if anything, it's even more true of us than it is of the Vilna Gaon. Obviously, the street, the way the Vilna Gaon streets in Vilna looked, are not what we see on the street when we go out. And unfortunately, it's not only what we see in the secular world. We see it all over the place. So we have to be extra careful. We have to realize that when we have a home, when we're part of somebody else's home, so it's somebody else's home. But when we build our own home, when we create our own bias, that bias has to be infused with Kedusha. And that Kedusha has to be a safe haven for our children, for our families, that when they're in our home, there's a certain standard. And they're going to go outside and they're going to see other things, but they're going to know that they come from a family, that this is the standard. This is what we do, and we're Ovdei Hashem. And that has to exist in the home in a happy way, in a calm way. And the Vilna Gaon talks about this. It has to be sweet, it has to be enjoyable, but our home has to represent all the ideas and the values. We can't expect that they're going to go out into the world, into the street, into the workplace, and get those ideas and those values. All you have to do is read the news. I remember when I was in high school, one of the Rebbeim told us that his in-laws didn't let newspapers into the home. They had a rule in the house. No newspapers in the house. And I said something to him like, are you being serious? No newspapers? Like, what? What does that even mean? What's wrong with a newspaper? I've heard Rebbeim say you can't bring a TV, but a newspaper? So I'd never heard such a thing. So he said to me, he said, the newspaper's full of ideas, and the ideas are not always ideas that are consistent with our values. So they don't bring the newspaper into the home. They don't bring foreign values into the home. I'm not saying not to bring a newspaper, but the idea is not such a wild idea. We have to make sure. We can't expect the street to be a place for our children, our families, to be able to see things and not be influenced by them. But at least our homes could be something. So the Vilna Gaon says they shouldn't leave. Obviously, that's not possible for us. But at least what we could take from the Gra is that our home should be a place that that they can come and they can seep up the Kedusha and they can understand and know the values of who they are, where they come from, and where hopefully they're headed. V'sheitzaisu v'ichabdu, they should listen and be mechabed oscha, meaning you. You referring to Mrs. Vilna Gaon, Uli'imi, and the mother of the Vilna Gaon, Olchol HaGadolim, B'Shana Mehem. Anyone that's older, you should always honor all your old elders. V'gam kol mash kosov b'sifrei Musar, yekaimu. And everything that it says in the Sifrei Musar, it's not enough to learn the Musar, you have to be mekayim the Musar. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say that the Medrash tells us that when Klal Yisrael went to the Yam Suf, they saw their level of nevuah was so high that even the Rosh HaShivcha Layam, Mashal Roy Yechezkel Ben Buzi, the Maisim Merkava that the Navi Yechezkel saw was not on the Madrega of what even the lowest maidservant saw at the Kriyas Yam Suf. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, but you see that they, in Yiddish, they blibed a shivcha. They remained a maidservant. Even though they saw, they were inspired, they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Yad Hashem, like nobody in history had ever seen, and until Mashiach comes, we'll never see again. And yet, it didn't change them. It didn't have an effect on them. So it's not enough to read the words of the Musar, to learn the Musar. We have to be Mekayim, the Musar too. And then we'll feel a change in ourselves. But if we don't take it to heart, if we don't see how we can incorporate the Musar that we learn into our lives, so then we could hear all the shmuzin. It's in one ear, out the other. It ends up a nice vart, a good thought, a nice idea. But if we don't think practically of how we can implement it in our lives, then just like the Shivcha Alayam, she saw the Ribbono Shel Olam Yad Hashem, but she stayed a Shivcha, and she didn't. There was no change that was apparent in her. Gam levanecha sheyichu, tegadol osam b'derech hayosher benachas. Always b'derech hayosher ubenachas. The Vilna Gaon always puts that in. It always has to be benachas. It always has to be calmly. There has to be calm in the house. It should never get stressed. They should never feel, you know, one of my rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael in the Mir, Rabbi Aaron David Shlita. So he told us that one year, his Kabbalah for Rosh Hashanah, his Kabbalah was that year, for 20 minutes on Erev Shabbos, the entire family was going to go and lie down in their beds. They didn't have to go to sleep, but they had to lie down in their beds. The Kabbalah on Rosh Hashanah, you're coming to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's about to judge you and decide what's going to be for the coming year. And you want to do something that's, I'm going to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that I'm going to be better this year. And what was it that he decided this, my Rebbe decided to do? Lie down for 20 minutes Erev Shabbos. Why? Because there needs to be calm on Erev Shabbos. We're coming into Shabbos. It's the holiest day of the week. Shabbos Kodesh. You wanna infuse Shabbos with Kedusha. You have to be benachas. If you're stressed out the whole Erev Shabbos, then your children see that, oh gosh, Shabbos. Now, Pesach is a little bit of a different story. Our children should know that we're avadim. There's something to our children. You shouldn't get chas v'shalom to get angry, but your children should see that there's a heightened level of exertion. We're working hard for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're, you know, cleaning the floors, pulling the fridge out of, you know, cleaning behind the fridge and the oven and turning everything over because the Ribbono Shel Olam told us that this is what we have to do because we were avadim to power, now we're avadim to Hashem. Shabbos is benachas. Yeah, we have a lot to do to get ready for Shabbos. But it should be benachas. We should be looking forward to Shabbos. Kids shouldn't feel that, oh no, Erev Shabbos is coming. Mommy and Tati, that means that they're going to be very, you know, they're going to get upset at us, or they, you know, it's going to be stressful in the house. It should be calm. If you need to take a nap, take a nap. Everything so that it's benachas. V'tishalim schar limud v'tachzik melamed b'vescha. You should make sure to pay the Rebbe, and you should keep, you know, be machzik the Torah, the limud in the house. Don't underpay him. Pay him enough. The girl wanted that he should be well paid. If the Rebbe's well paid, then he's more than happy to just sit and focus on the learning. He doesn't have to worry about how he's going to make more money somewhere else. Now, that's an acronym. Tishrei is an acronym. All of a person's money is on Rosh Hashanah. All a person's money is set on Rosh Hashanah, except the amount that a person's going to make does not include Tishrei. Tishrei doesn't mean the month of Tishrei. It means Talmud Torah is the Tav. Shin is Shabbos. Resh is Rosh Chodesh. And Yud is Yom Tov. So those four things, the money that you spend, you might have heard of This is the Chazal, that if you spend money on Shabbos, it doesn't come off of your cheshbon. So if you spend money on Talmud Torah, on tuitions, then it doesn't come off your cheshbon. I left some sfarim for them. Again, he uses the word v'nachas. Make sure to wash their health. They should always have food. Make sure they eat protein. Make sure that they drink water. You know, stay healthy. The first thing that they should learn is the Chumash. She regilim kimat bal peh. They should be kimat rogil bal peh val yach bet aleim kim benachas. And don't pressure them. It should always be benachas. The limud of Chumash is, unfortunately, somehow it's become like Parshas HaShavua. Chumash in Rashi is one of the underpinnings of all of Klal Yisrael. Rav Volbi writes a list of things that everybody, every yid, you know, has to learn. I don't remember the list offhand, but I think it includes Mishnah Berurah, Mesilas Yesharim, Chumash and Rashi, and Ramban. And I don't remember the full list. But Chumash, Rashi, Ramban is one of the basics of what Rav Volbi writes in Al Yishur, is what every yid has to know. And Mesilas Yesharim. So Baruch Hashem, we're making our way through. But Rabbi Yerucham, in his introduction to his Sefer Das Torah, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz was a mashgiach in the Mir. He was the big famous mashgiach. And his Sefer, what we have from him today, we have Shmuzin, but we also have the biggest Sefer is Das Torah. The irony is Das Torah is it's six volumes on Chumash. And it didn't originally exist. He didn't sit down to write a parish on Chumash. Das Torah is the notes from his Chumash shir that he gave because the yeshiva was in Mir, and the Bachrim that came from those parts of the world were very strong in their amunah, in their learning. And then Bachrim came from America and some other places, Germany maybe, whatever it was, that were weaker in amunah because they lived in societies that were different. They didn't live in little shtetls. If you came from America, you know, you might have been from a community where your family was one of the few Shomer Shabbos families. So yeah, your family was strong, but you were surrounded, you were influenced by a lot of other things. The learning wasn't on as high of a level. And so for those boys who were weaker in Amunah, he gave them a special shir on Chumash and Rashi. It wasn't really for the strong Bachrim, it's for the weaker Bachrim. But those Bachrim had the Chumash shir, and that Chumash shir was recorded, and that became the Das Torah. And that's what we have from Rabbi Yerucham. The Chumash Rashi, it's always very important, whether it's Parshas HaShavua or just a Limud. There's so much that comes out of just the Psukim themselves and the Rashi. Ki alimud eino nekva b'adam ki b'yishuv v'nachas. The Vilna Gaon points out that if you're going to force them to learn, we know, anytime you're forced to learn, it's not the same. If you can learn b'yishuv v'nachas calmly and b'nachas, it goes much better. You understand it, it sinks in, it has an impact. V'tivazor lam prutos, and you should also sprinkle them, distribute prutos, coins, whether it's keli cash, or slushies, or raffle tickets, or coins, whatever in his day, prizes, candies, whatever it is, give them candies for learning, and it'll be a positive experience for Kayotzi. And that's really all, that's what you have to worry about. I guess everything that he spoke about, learning, making sure that there's a Rebbe, making sure that they're eating healthy, they're learning Chumash, and Halavai Vaiter, and all the learning should be B'yishev uvenachas. At the end of the day, when I say the end of the day, I mean the end of a person's life, all we have is those two white cloths. That's referring to the tachrichim that a person is buried in. Either there were two different cloths, or somehow there was a double layer. I don't know how it is, but that's what he's referring to. He quotes a pasuk, "Al tirak ki asher ish." We say this in the home of an avil's home. "Al tirak ki asher ish ki irbek for beso." Don't be afraid. Ki asher ish, you see a person get rich. Ki irbek for beso, that the kavod of his house is marbe. Ki lo b'motzo yikach hakol lo yered achor kavodo. A person doesn't take it with him. That's it. A person leaves this world. He could have been a billionaire. He's a zero-nair. when he leaves this world. And all he has is his Torah and mitzvahs and his ma'asim tovim. That's all. That's all a person takes with him. It's very narrow-minded to focus so much on the gashmias, on this world. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our families. But if we don't have an eye out for the next world, you know, all these people that think that they're, you know, into long-term investments, the longest term is the next world, is the Olam Haba. And if we get distracted, which is so easy to do, then we miss the whole point. A person is like grass. Sometimes the grass grows, sometimes it withers. Okay? Person's life is very fragile. People die, people come, people go all the time. Rish Lakish left very little to his children, but he left a legacy. The only thing that they benefit from for real is the Torah and the Ma'asim Tovim that you leave for them. The Ribbono Shel Olam will decide every Rosh Hashanah how much money they're supposed to make. So it's, you know, we work so hard for ourselves. Hashem decides. Hashem, we work so hard to leave money for our children. Hashem decides that too. But the Torah, the Ma'asim Tovim, the legacy of the Torah, Ma'asim Tovim that we leave for our children, that's what we have to really work on. Gamkin Yadua Igrid Anashi Bagri Benayhu, and he reminds his wife that the Gemara says Nashim B'Mayzachian. What is their chelik in the Torah? And the because women are potter from Talmud Torah. And the Von Ligon quotes the Gemara in Brachos that the women make sure that their sons and their husbands go off to learn. This is very important. A lot of times, I'll tell you, I just over Shabbos, this past Shabbos, there were a couple of husbands who come up to camp for Shabbos. So two of them were talking. They had set up a chavrusa, and I heard two of them talking, and one of them said to the other, I asked my wife if I could go learn now, and she said something like, yeah, that's okay. And he felt like that meant that she wanted him to come and help with the kids, whatever the situation was. And he was saying how I can only go if my wife says, yes, I want you to go learn. Like, then I could tell, like, she means it and it's okay for her and she doesn't need me, you know, to help out. Whatever it is, but you have to realize, like, from both sides. So that's the conversation that the two husbands are having, and you have to realize that sometimes it's the woman who's machazik, the man is sometimes waiting for the cue from his wife about what, you know, he wants to make sure to be able to help her, and because he loves her, wants to take care of her, wants to make sure she's okay, he wants to make sure that she could take a nap, and he wants to make sure, you know, that she has everything. So sometimes the woman almost needs to, like, push back and say, no, I want you to go to the Beis Medrash. Otherwise it doesn't happen as much, and it's not because the husband doesn't want to, it's because the husband wants to help the wife first, and so the wife has to kind of have a little bit of the pushback. And I'm certain, I know that you'll do everything I write. I want to remind you, double remind you, that you shouldn't change from anything that I wrote. Then the Gra says, reminder to read this Igeres every single week. Now, the Ramban said the same thing in his Igeres Ramban. He said you should read this Igeres every week. We mentioned the Ramchal in the Hakdama to Masilas Charm doesn't say every week, but he says the same idea. The only toelis that's going to come from the Sifrei Musar is going to come from reading them and rereading them, because, you know, what you might have read something and at a certain moment in your life it didn't apply to you. But when you come at a different stage of life, all of a sudden that paragraph is very relevant to you. Or sometimes, you know, we ran through a lot of content. Today we're going to cover a lot of ground in the Igeres HaGra. And the Igeres HaGra has a lot of little points. So a lot of little points, you heard a half hour shiur, but I don't, you know, you can't make all these things Levaisa. But if you go back and you read it, so you're reminded, oh, he mentioned that we should be careful about Birchas HaMazon. I didn't even notice that because I was, you know, the first 30 seconds of today's shiur, we mentioned Berachas HaMazon, but then we went on to so many other topics. So if you don't come back to it, you don't see it, it doesn't make a rosham on you. Ubeprat b'Shabbos kodem achila, the Gra says you should read the Geras HaGra on Shabbos morning before you eat the Suda, B'socha Suda, during the Suda, B'sholi, Da'avid Devarim Telem, Chas V'Shalom, and certainly at the Suda you shouldn't speak Devarim Telem, or ever. Koshkin Chas V'Shalom, B'loshin Har, V'Ketzabem, certainly not Chas V'Shalom, these are repetitions. You shouldn't speak Lashon Hara or any other Dvar Metilim. And I beg you and I implore you that you should be Madrich, the children in this way. Always softly, but every Musar, HaMisyashiv HaLatliv. Not fiery Musar, but rather Musar that's Misyashiv HaLatliv, that they can hear. Say it in a way that they can grow from it, they could become better from it. And every dor is different. In some doros, soft was not the way to do it. The Vilna Gaon was saying soft in a way that they could hear. Different people have different versions of soft. In our generation, people are more sensitive. You have to be more careful. You have to understand the people. You have to know the people. You have to be able to give... My Rebbe, Baron David, so he told me that he came to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1960s. And he was learning in the mirror for a few years, and he heard about this great mashgiach, Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. And he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Bnei Brak. Reb Chatzkel was the mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva. During the war, he was in Shanghai with the mirror, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and then he moved to Bnei Brak, and he became the mashgiach in Panovich. And Reb Aaron David wanted to go to Panovich to speak to Reb Chatzkel. This was already in the last year of Reb Chatzkel's life. He said he saw Reb Chatzkel learning, but he had such a pachad, he couldn't go near him. And he heard that in the last year of Reb Chatzkel's life, he actually stopped saying shmuzin, because his shmuzin were very fiery, and he felt like the boys, this was already in the early 1970s, that the boys were no longer able to hear the musar the way they were in the 30s and 40s and 50s. It was a different crowd, it was a new generation, and he felt like, so he didn't give his regular shmuzin because he felt like it was too sharp, too sharp and penetrating, that they wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't absorb, they wouldn't be able to be affected by it. Ubefrat im nizke lovo lo Yitzrol, ubefrat, that if you're able to be zoche to come to Yitzrol, kisham tarach leilach ma'od b'darach Hashem, you have to be extra careful in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the Ribbono Shalom's home. So it's like, you know, the pasuk in Megillas Esther, Hagam lichboshes hamalki imi babayis, when when Achashverosh comes back and Haman fell onto Esther towards the end, he says, "What, in the palace you're going to be kovishes hamalka? You know, how could you do that? In the palace you have that higher standard." So in Eretz Yisrael, there's a higher standard. They say that the Sefer Ma'aseish, they bring down that's a stories and collections from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish chose to live in Bnei Brak because he was nervous to live in Yerushalayim. We all love Yerushalayim, we want to go to Yerushalayim, we want to stay in Yerushalayim, live in Yerushalayim. The Chazon Ish was nervous to live in Yerushalayim because he felt that if Eretz Yisrael is Hashem's home, then Yerushalayim is like Hashem's like inner chamber, and the Beis HaMikdash even more so. But Yerushalayim was already, he had to be so on such a high madrega, he felt like he was nervous that he wouldn't do justice. And that's how the Chazon Ish felt. Halavai. Okay. Ubepradim niskalav alay tzok, yisham tzarech leilich ma'od b'darki Hashem. V'lachein targilim ki adibor v'hamidos tzarech hergel rav. Midos and dibor, you have to accustom yourself to do things the right way. Whenever I hear a Talmud say, when I hear a student say something inappropriate, so they always say the word, and then if I give them a look, they say, "Oh, sorry, I slipped." So I speak to them about it, and I tell them that I don't have a taina that they slipped. People slip. People have natural reactions. You know, they flinch. They do whatever. People have inborn hergel. People have hergel. I'm not upset at you about the hergel. I'm upset at you, not upset at you, but the problem is that it was part of your hergel. When I slip, let's say I trip on the ground, I don't blurt out an inappropriate word because it's not part of my vocabulary. So the problem is that it's part of your vocabulary. So then you try to control yourself when the Rebbe's around. But then, you know, something happens, you fall, you bump, whatever, and you let out a word that you shouldn't have, because it's part of your vocabulary. That's your default word. So our hergel has to be to speak benachas, to speak appropriately, to say thank you, to say kind words to people, good morning, and words that make people feel good. That has to be our hergel. That has to be our default. We have to train ourselves. It's not easy. Our hergel, I'll call Devar Shilton. That's the greatest way to overcome your midos, is hergel. In a positive way. Hergel could also be a bad thing. It could get too rote. Mitzvos anashim melumad is also a bad thing. That if we come to do mitzvos by rote, it also is a negative. V'chol aschal is koshos. And every time you start, it's a process. You start, you have to grow. V'achar kach, v'ozolo al azizal ki rasha, yodei ba'atmo, shara umar darko, ach koshal olifrosh. So the Russia knows that he's not doing the right thing, but it's hard for him to change. Person has to afflict himself, cause himself, restrain himself. The grub means you don't have to like dunk into an ice mikveh to do tshuva, and you don't have to fast for 40 days straight to do tshuva. You have to control what you say. You have to control your words. You have to control your taivos. There's a maisa noira. This is a pachad. I saw this. He quotes it here from a sefer Luli Saraska. Rabbi Goldberg quotes it from Luli Saraska. I saw it. I read it in one of Rabbi Spiro's books. Rabbi Yechiel Spiro's Touched by Something. I don't know which one. Rav Chaim Friedlander was the Mashkiach in Panovich. He was a Talmud of the Michtamil of Rav Dessler, Michtamil. Rav Chaim Friedlander wrote the Sifsei Chaim. And he was sick. He came to America for treatments, and they sent him back, and they ran some tests, and unfortunately they found out that he only had a few weeks to live. So the way the story goes is there was a meeting, and a meeting of the Rabbanim or something like that. The meeting of Rabbanim, Rav Shach was in the meeting, and Rav Chaim Friedlander came into the meeting, went over to Rav Shach, whispered something in his ear, and then Rav Shach whispered something back, and Rav Chaim Friedlander left. And that was it. And they said, what was the conversation? And he said that he told me that the doctors just told him that he only has a few weeks to live. And he wants to know, if a person has a few weeks to live, what should he work on? What do you work on in a few weeks? Should I try to chazer all of Shas? Should I try to, you know, start from brachos and just keep going? Should I work on what do I do? I have a few weeks left to live. And Rav Shach told him to work on his midos. It's a nora. A few weeks left, that's it. Work on your midos. That's what Rav Shach told Rav Chaim Friedlander. V'zeu ha-tshuva. V'zeu kol pri olam haba. And all the peros that you're going to get in olam haba is from working on yourself and controlling yourself and overcoming your physical desires. I think I forget if it's the smag or the smak in his hakdama, says that there's three creatures. There's malachim, there's animals, and there's humans. The malachim are completely ruchni, the animals are completely gashmi, and human beings have a guf and an neshama combined in one. And our job is to have the neshama win over the guf. And controlling yourself and your midos and your taivos is worth more than all the fasts and all the malchus that you'll get yourself and all the mikvahs that you'll dunk in. The Gro writes something here that every moment that a person is chosim piv, from, he has a good joke, but it's not appropriate. He has a good vart about somebody else, but it's lashon hara. He's zoche to an or hagonas. I don't know what an or hagonas is, but the Gro thinks that it's more chashuv than anything that a malach could be zoche to. From holding yourself back for 5 seconds of speaking lashon hara is more than what a malach is yicholim lishar. Omer akosuv mi yishachav itzchaim ovil mirstov nesol lashon chameros v'sachem etab mirma ubezer yichub alo kol avon. The Gro says a chiddush that you can have a kaparas avonos, kol avonos, from holding, being careful about your speech. V'nitzol mishol tachlis, you're saved from gehenim. Kvashkas shomer piv, loshono, you watch your mouth from eating and drinking. or Lashono Midvar Mitalim, Shomer Mitzars Nafsho, Mavis Vachem Ben Alashon, Oyla Misha Mamis Atzmo, Bishvil Dibor Echad, Ven Yisrael Bal Alashon, Lachol Yesh Rafu Achot Vachuli Va Iker, Shalo Ledaber Bishum, Tidaber Bishum Adam Bishivcho. You shouldn't speak about anybody for Shevach. Shevach is, it's Avak Lashon Hara, because if I say something nice about somebody, somebody is going to respond, yeah, he does that well, but you know, the other thing, he doesn't do well. In other words, it's almost like it's an, you're setting the stage for somebody to say something negative. The kosher came begnuso, and certainly to speak negatively, because negatively is real lashon hara. Kimalo la'odam bidvar zoros, bidvar zoros, shocha muka pizaros, za'om Hashem yipolsham. Okay, we will stop here, and we're up to the paragraph, ve'ikar hageder bibedidos.